I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Wow, yours looks way better than mine. Mine looks flattened.
Yeah.
He can't save mine, damn it.
Venice's looks a little bit more like a mooncake than maybe a dumpling at this point.
Learning how to make dumplings is no easy feat. From rolling the dough to folding the perfect pleats, it takes years of practice to master these dainty, delicate bundles of joy.
And there's no dumpling as dainty or as delicate as the Shaolong Bao, or soup dumpling, as you may call them in the West.
When it comes to eating these parcels of pork and broth, it's safe to say it trips up many a Shaolong Bao newbie. Within the wheat flour wrapper lies a small ball of fatty minced pork. When steamed, the protein releases a fragrant juice that pools within the thin dumpling skin, ready to explode in your mouth when bitten into.
And trust me, I've scalded my mouth on so many soup dumplings. Not to mention the amount of times I've accidentally pierced the thin dumpling skin with my chopsticks, even before I got it into my mouth.
Today on Eat Drink Asia, we uncover the origins of this golf ball-sized dumpling, tracing it back to a district on the fringes of Shanghai, China.
What they say is that in the early 20th century, a man from Nanjing opened a restaurant near the City God Temple in Shanghai, and that's what brought the snack into the center of Shanghai and into the spotlight.
We speak to the daughter of a Shaolong Bao master to find out what makes the perfect soup dumpling.
Perfect Shaolong Bao should be dough is very thin and have a lot of soup. A pork should be very fresh. I can't say they are very healthy. But, you know, no. This is a traditional food. It's traditional, right? You can't think that when you eat traditional food, because in old days, people don't think about that.
And finally, we find out how a Taiwanese company that started off selling cooking oil made Shaolong Bao a global phenomenon.
Din Tai Fung have put the Shaolong Bao on the map for many people who are not Chinese. When Din Tai Fung's first opened branches in Shanghai, there was this strange feeling about why is it that a Taiwanese company is opening in Shanghai and doing a local Shanghainese snack.
This is Eat Drink Asia, where in each episode we deep dive into an Asian food or drink that's gone global. And this month, because of the ongoing pandemic, we're recording from our homes in Hong Kong.
Stay with us.
Hello, 你好，我姓张，叫张雪玲。
This is Zhang Xueling, and he says he makes the freshest Shaolong Bao in New York. He is the chef owner of Memories of Shanghai in Queens, and has been making Shaolong Bao for 4 decades.
Hi, my name is Elsa Zhang. Our family from Shanghai, and my father and me own the restaurant.
And this is his daughter.
My father is the most important chief in the restaurant.
He's the most important person in the restaurant?
Yes.
Why is most, that?
Because he, beginning, he is the only one know how to make dianzhang. But now my mother can do a lot of work.
For 3 decades, he has been giving Chinese immigrants in New York a taste of home while introducing locals to authentic Shaolong Bao. Zhang learned how to make these delicious steamed dumplings in his early 20s when he lived in Shanghai, the Chinese city synonymous with Shaolong Bao. With 40 years experience under his belt making these dainty dumplings, he was in hot demand when he arrived in New York in the early 1990s.
But your father is the best Shaolong Bao maker?
Yes. In fact, he is famous for a long time, I think, in New York. Yes, he is famous in New York.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because He worked for a lot of restaurants.
Over the years, he's worked at Zhou's Shanghai, Nanshan Xiaolongbao, Birds of a Feather, and Ningbo Cafe, helping all of them make Xiaolongbao their star dish. Then 2 years ago, Zhang, who is now 63, finally fulfilled a dream when he opened his own restaurant with Elsa.
We'll come back to Zhang and Elsa later. But first, what makes the perfect Xiaolongbao?
Oh, well, you want to have a very thin, taut skin that has a wonderful mouthfeel. And it has to be tender but taut enough to hold in that wonderful juicy filling.
This is cook and food writer Fuchsia Dunlop. She's been researching Chinese cuisine for 25 years.
And then you want to have a very smooth filling of minced pork, or if you're being luxurious, hairy crab meat in season. And then, of course, the all-important stock. So a really collagen-rich, delicious, savoury umami stock that floods your mouth when you make a little hold in the dumpling.
Xiaolongbao is best known as a Shanghainese snack. Most people think these dumplings are steeped in Shanghai's culinary and cultural history.
Actually, in Shanghai, they say that it originated at a county town on the outskirts of Shanghai called Nanxiang, around the Guyi Garden. So that's a classical Chinese garden. And around the edge, there have been for I think a couple of centuries, a lot of little snack shops. It was a sort of pleasure ground for people. And these snack shops all specialize in the Xiaolongbao. But actually there, they call it the Xiaolong Manto, not Xiaolongbao. Now, these dumplings are, you know, exactly what you'd expect, little bamboo steamers lined with rice straw with these dainty little dumplings filled with stock.
The history books aren't clear on who or when the first Xiaolongbao was invented, but there are many disputed theories.
One legend has it that a man named Huang Mingxian was the creator of the first Xiaolongbao. He owned a restaurant called Ruihua Xuan in Nanxiang. It's said that in the 1870s, he invented the dumpling by adding jellified meat stock to his minced pork. When steamed, the jelly would melt and fill the dumpling with soup. The story goes that he originally named the buns Nanxiang Da Rou Manto, which means large meat-filled buns from Nanxiang. While the dumplings boomed in popularity, the name did not stick. Over time, the name evolved to Xiaolongbao, which literally translates as small basket bun.
But how did the dumplings make their way into Shanghai itself?
What they say is that in the early 20th century, a man from Nanxiang opened a restaurant near the City God Temple in Shanghai, and that's what brought the snack into the center of Shanghai and into the spotlight.
Nowadays, you'll find restaurants and snack shops selling Xiaolongbao across the city. The Shanghai government even listed them as one of the protected traditional treasures of the city in 2006. In Shanghai, the delicacy level and thinness of the dumpling skin can actually vary from restaurant to restaurant. But originally, Xiaolongbao, or Xiaolongmanto, as they're still referred to in Nanxiang, had thicker dumpling skins.
If you go to Nanxiang and these little Xiaolongmanto restaurants around the Guyi Gardens, the ladies there said that they could wrap each of them 400 Xiaolongbao in an hour. So they're working incredibly fast. And you just look at them with their fingers pinching, and the dumpling rotating, and each one is perfect. And it's just extraordinary, The speed and the consistency with which they work.
Bernice and I have eaten our fair share of Xiaolongbao, so we thought it was about time to learn how to make them. We recently met dim sum chef Leung Kwok Kwa at Dim Sum Library in Hong Kong. Chef Leung is originally from Guangdong Province in southern China and has been making dim sum for almost 2 decades.
It takes time to learn how to make the Xiaolongbao, whether they're nice looking or not. But try today and I can show you how to make it.
He said that it takes a lot of practice to make a Xiaolongbao. So we might not be able to achieve this in one afternoon.
I was going to say, you don't have much hope for us in making this, do you?
First up, we mince the pork, add seasoning, and mix it with the all-important soup gelatin.
That's what's going to melt into the soup that will fill the dumpling when steamed. Next, we knead the dough and cut it into large marble-sized portions.
Then we roll it out with a small wooden rolling pin. rotating the dough and rolling from the edge inwards.
一定要皮薄啦。
You should be able to pick up the top of the dumpling with your chopsticks and swing it back and forth without breaking, and that is the best xiaolongbao.
We put a tablespoon of the pork into the middle of the dough and begin wrapping it, pinching and rotating to make the pleats up top.
Wow, yours looks way better than mine. Mine looks flattened.
Yeah.
He can't save mine, damn it.
Benice's looks a little bit more like a moon cake than maybe a dumpling at this point.
Chef Leung's xiaolongbao always has 23 pleats at the top. And safe to say, ours didn't.
Well, I think mine was pretty close, but yours was way off, let's face it.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Now, while we weren't able to steam ours, we did get to taste his, and they were really delicious.
I have to agree. As we found out, the succulent parcels are very hard to make, but skills are also required to eat them. Many newbies come away from their first xiaolongbao experience with scalded mouths and stained shirts.
Soup dumplings are served piping hot in a bamboo steamer and are often accompanied with a saucer of vinegar and shreds of ginger. But when it comes to eating them, however, everyone has their own method, which they think is best.
And how do you eat your xiaolongbao?
I eat with vinegar and ginger. I like that. And every time I use a big spoon.
This is Elsa Zhang in New York again.
Then I lift it up and I will give it a little bit time to cool because it's too hot and... you will make a big mess when you eat it. I don't want it. So first you should wait, I think. Be patient. It's just perfect for one bite. So you drink the soup and you just put the whole thing in the mouth.
But if you need extra help, some restaurants like Din Tai Fung actually provide guests with an illustrated instruction sheet on how to eat xiaolongbao.
Some people think that you have to, you know, raise it with your chopsticks. So you hold it with your chopsticks by the neck like a kitten in its mother's mouth very tenderly, and then you put it in your spoon and then you pierce the side so the stock floods out and then you can sip it from the spoon, and then you eat the dumpling.
Many people outside of Asia know xiaolongbao thanks to Din Tai Fung, a restaurant chain that's actually from Taiwan. What people might not know is that Din Tai Fung started off as a shop selling cooking oil in Taipei in the late 1950s. But when business was not doing so well in the 1970s, the founder decided to start selling steamed dumplings. Now, the restaurant chain has branches in more than 14 countries around the world and is credited with creating the world's international standard for xiaolongbao.
I think it's quite recent that the xiaolongbao has become well-known internationally, because I'm sure that sort of 20 or maybe even 10 years ago, they weren't so well-known. And I think the main reason for that is Din Tai Fung.
Din Tai Fung is known for its absolute precision when it comes to making xiaolongbao.
They have little electronic scales in the kitchen, and each dumpling before steaming must weigh exactly 21 grams and have 18 pleats. So they're obsessive about detail. And they took this model and then exported it.
But how did the Shanghainese react when a Taiwanese restaurant brought xiaolongbao back to Shanghai?
When Din Tai Fung's first opened branches in Shanghai, there was this strange feeling about why is it that a Taiwanese company is opening in Shanghai and doing a local Shanghainese snack to a very, very high standard. But I think there are also, you know, local Shanghainese restaurants which are really good now. Din Tai Fung has become one of those still, you know, quite rare Chinese food brands which has become, you know, a great hit all over the world. And I think that Din Tai Fung have put the xiaolongbao on the map for many people who are not Chinese.
Well, some Shanghainese think Din Tai Fung's xiaolongbao are not authentic. Elsa is diplomatic.
I respect Taiwanese xiaolongbao. I think it's no problem about Taiwanese or Shanghainese. Xiaolongbao is, of course, everyone makes xiaolongbao. The flavor is a little bit different. So that's okay. In the very, very old day, like 1940, 50, a lot of Shanghainese, they just moved to Taiwan. So the Taiwanese dumpling, xiaolongbao, and the Shanghainese xiaolongbao, they're connected. They are different, but they're still connected. They're still xiaolongbao.
For Elsa, her love of xiaolongbao is more than just taste. It's her family's livelihood. Her father, Zhang, and the chefs in their New York restaurant make almost 400 xiaolongbao fresh every day for their hungry customers. So in the filling, what else do you have other than pork in the xiaolongbao?
And the fillings should be include ginger and onion. Chinese onion, the green one, the longer
one. Spring onion.
And pork and some salt.
One of the most tedious parts of making the xiaolongbao is the soup gelatin. That is a two-day process and involves simmering fatty pork with ginger and scallions for 4 to 6 hours and then cooling it down until it becomes gelatinous. But it's the pork lard that makes the soup so delicious. So there's a lot of fat in the soup then, is that right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I can't say they are very healthy, but this is a traditional food. It's traditional, right? You can't think that when you eat traditional food, because in old days, people don't think about that. Normally, usually people eat xiaolongbao with something else.
Do you know how to make xiaolongbao?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. I want to learn when one day I can my kids a little bit grow up a little, so I want to learn. Of course, I need to learn because it's a way to make money, right?
In the last few years, some restaurants around the world have tried to jazz up their xiaolongbao, experimenting with different flavors. Back at Dim Sum Library in Hong Kong, they don't actually sell the original flavor of xiaolongbao. Instead, they offer dandan xiaolongbao, based on the Sichuan spicy noodle dish with a peanutty flavor.
I made it over 20 times. When you make things the traditional way, it's simple. But when you add something different in there, it doesn't always work, so we had to do it by trial and error.
Chef Leung has also released 4 new flavors, including beef brisket, hot and sour, bak kut teh, and bonito and kombu for his curious diners. But to some, the original is always best.
What do you think of, are you a fan of any of these other flavors, or are you a hardcore, original xiaolongbao person?
Well, I think that, I'm quite happy to try different versions and different sorts of trendy modern xiaolongbao, but I do think that the original is a work of dumpling perfection, and you don't really need to do anything to it. It's just perfect as it is. And the other thing I should say is that it's normally served with a little dish of rice vinegar and with shards of fresh ginger, which perk it up and cut through any richness. And that combination of the rich, savory umami pork and that perky little spritz of vinegar and ginger is just a beautiful chord of flavor.
So, Venice, we got to try some of the dandan flavored xiaolongbao. Are you an original fan, or are you a convert?
I really like trying these different flavors just out of curiosity. But to be honest, I still do like the original flavor. What about you?
I've had some pretty strange flavors, actually. I've tried, there's a cheese one, there's a truffle one, and...
Cheese?
They're not really for me. I'd say original is always best. But look, I'm never going to turn down the opportunity to try new flavors.
This episode is produced by Carolyn Wright. And we want to thank Elsa Zhang, Chef Zhang Xueling, Fuchsia Dunlop, and Chef Leung Kwok Wah.
If you want to ask about a dish or a drink, tweet us at Beijing Calling or at Alkira Ryan Frank. Eat Drink Asia is a monthly podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, basically anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Until next time,
happy eating! Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.